It would be great to wake up and have things already done
because yeah. Like a magic elf in the night just gets them done for you.
Seriously, I pride myself on being like a super organized, get it done kind of gal. But when you have so many things going on, look, this is just what happens. You have so many things going on and you're like, I have no idea how I'm going to get around in a day. And this is when you decide that you need somebody to help you. That's when you need to bring in a virtual assistant. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk to Catherine Brenna, who is the creator of Girl Planner in the UK. So I'm super excited about this one because I desperately need help. So this was a really fun one to sort of just pick her brain and kind of hear about the different options that are out there, how to think about this, how to sort of manage this, because I really have no idea how this works at all. Some of the things we're going to talk about are, what does a virtual assistant do? How to find a virtual assistant that is suitable for your goals? Why you should have a trial period when you're making the decision? How to get past not seeing your virtual assistant in person? What types of payment plans there are available? And why it's important to gel with your virtual assistant? And if you don't know what gel means, just wait for it. You will understand it once you hear us talking about it. Girl Planner, which is the company that she's created, basically offers sort of like a new and smart way of working. They have the ability to give you all the benefits of having a personal assistant without the large cost of training and recruitment. Ooh, my words are, I'm having trouble today. And recruitment because it's virtual. So it changes things when you don't have to physically meet with the person or hire them full time as like an employee, right? So they do lifestyle management, to travel arrangements, to diary management, to admin support, to social media, to marketing, so many different things. Now, before we get into this one with Catherine, I just want to tell you that right now, as we speak, in BSnaps, the Facebook group, we are currently having a video challenge where at the end of the 5 days, you will create, no joke, a beautiful professional video that introduces you to your clients and how you can serve them. This is a great video that you can use on your website, on your about page, on your Facebook page, places like that, because it's really important that you sort of dive in and dig deep, find those pain points, understand what they need from you, and develop a video that really speaks to them. I'm holding live training in the Facebook group every day for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So if you're hearing this on Tuesday, get in now. You've only missed one day. If you're hearing this on Friday, don't worry about it. It's still going to be available to you so you can still learn about it and still create the video and share as you go along. We're all sharing sort of all the little moments in time. So there is homework. Yes, there is. Little bitty homework. Don't get crazy. I'm not trying to kill you here. But a little bit of homework every day just so that we can build this out properly so that by the 5th day, you'll be ready to record. You'll have all the knowledge to actually make this video an amazing one. So check out BSnaps, the Facebook group. Guys, let's get into this one with Catherine. All right, guys. So today I have somebody really exciting. I'm excited to learn all about this because I actually am in desperate need of this. So I'm excited to pick her brain. This is Catherine Brenna. She is the owner and creator of Girl Planner, as is sort of like an expert virtual assistant. And she has all these other virtual assistants that work with her. So I'm really excited to learn all about this. Hey, Catherine.
Hi. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you.
No problem at all. No problem.
That's amazing. So, Catherine, I need to know all the things. So I need to know, tell me your story. How did this start? Why are you doing this? Give me your path, your journey. I want to know all about that.
I will. Yeah. Okay. So I've got a background. I started off as an executive assistant, working with kind of directors. And then I did some business development management. And I always wanted to actually work on my own or start my own company. And being a virtual assistant, I think it was quite a new thing when I started. But it sounded quite exciting. Obviously, had the skills there required. And when I put it out there to a lot of the people that I knew in London, it just seemed quite popular. So I just started picking up business from there, and that was probably about a year ago now. So it's progressed fairly rapidly since I started. So it's quite exciting, actually.
And so when you say, tell me what a VA is. Do people know what that is when you say that? Tell me what that actually means.
They don't. I mean, sometimes they don't. So a virtual assistant is basically going to give you all the benefits of having a personal assistant, but working remotely. So, I mean, what I tend to do is I'll sit down with a potential client, so a business owner, and I'll say to them, you know, what are you working on at the moment? What's holding you back? What work can I take off you to increase your chance of success so you can focus on the core of your business? So a lot of the stuff that we do is going to be kind of the general administration, the payments, the document production and so forth for the company, alongside larger things like project coordination. So we're basically going to be the business owner's right-hand person. To get all the stuff done that they might not have the time to do, so they can carry on with their business.
When you say that, like, what are those kinds of things entail? Like, can they say, I want you to manage all of my social media?
Yeah, exactly like that. So, I mean, for example, I've got a client, we go through our emails every morning, clear them from about 200
wow.
to 30 emails. So it's just a case of, you know, you get to know the client, you can respond to a lot of those emails for the client, or you can clear out a lot of the junk as well. So that's obviously going to save our client a lot of time. And again, as you said, like social media, so managing their posts, creating blog articles for them, and generally just giving them an active presence on social media accounts.
So how do people, like, when you're deciding, if you decide, okay, I really need help, I'm swamped, I'm like, I can't figure all this out, how do
yeah.
people actually go about finding a VA? What do they do?
I think, I mean, a lot of the time it can be either through referrals or online searching. I think it's becoming, I mean, outsourcing, as you probably know, as a whole, is becoming a lot more popular these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people will have a look online, maybe have a search around, maybe speak to friends and speak to colleagues. I mean, there are a lot of virtual assistant companies out there. Some people work individually, and then you've got larger companies that do it too. And I think it's just a case of, you know, really working out what you want that help with and what you want to hire a virtual assistant for, so that you know what you're looking for. And when you do start speaking to virtual assistants, there's going to be that clarity in what you need doing and that perfect fit almost with working with one.
When you think of all the clients that you've worked with, has there
yeah.
been one client that was a real struggle to work with?
it's a difficult one, that one. I wouldn't say necessarily difficult. I mean, there's definitely clients that, you know, they're on certain tighter budgets and so forth, or they need more quicker responses. But I mean, it's part of our job. Our job is to make our clients' life easier, you know, and to take a weight off their shoulders. So, I mean, it can be pressure. There are clients that, but obviously they're working under pressure.
Right.
So if we can alleviate that from them, then I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. And so have you ever been given a project that you've gone, wow, I don't even know how to do this? Or do you say, no, I can't do that?
You're putting me on the spot now. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think it happens with, I mean, I don't think that anyone could turn around and say they've not had a job that they've been kind of scratched their head a little bit about. But I mean, that's the whole beauty of it, isn't it? I mean, virtual assistants are freelancers, they can connect with other freelancers and so forth. And, you know, there's a whole network of people out there that, you know, if you can't do something, there's going to be someone that can, and you can get either the support from, or you can work with them on it.
Okay, so if somebody comes to you and they go, here's this crazy project, and you're like, what
yeah.
the heck? You
yeah.
know that you can reach out to somebody else and sort of subcontract them.
Yeah, or work alongside someone. If I can't do it, I'll find someone that can definitely help me do it.
Right. So basically, a VA does almost anything.
Pretty much. I mean, pretty much. Yeah, we're pretty flexible. I mean, the way I work, I tailor, as I said, I tailor what I do around clients. So it's more a case of saying, hey, look, where are you with your business? Or, you know, what do you need help with? Because we do business side of things as well, but then obviously it does jump over to the personal side as well. So maybe booking travel, booking entertainment, organizing gifts maybe for our clients, partners or family. So there is a real variation there, which is something I love about the job personally. But as I said, yeah, so there is, we do pretty much most things. I mean, you'll definitely find some virtual assistants that specialize in certain areas, maybe such as bookkeeping or marketing. But yeah, so there is, as I said, a lot of variation.
When I'm actually looking for a VA, what things should I really be drilling into and looking at when I'm making the choices?
I would definitely have a look on the websites, have a look at testimonials. They're obviously really important. And as I said previously, I mean, just really know what you want help with. I mean, really kind of think if it's something that needs a special skill or you know what direction you're going in, have a look and find a virtual assistant that's going to fit what you want. And don't be afraid to talk to us or talk to other virtual assistants either, because I mean, if you talk to someone and they understand you and they understand what you need, then that kind of clarity and that transparency is already there to have a good working relationship.
So if I say, okay, there's these three VAs that I kind of think would be good for me, do I give them a little project to see how it goes?
Yeah, you can do. I mean, the way I would probably work it is I'd have a trial period and just see how you get on. I mean, it's really because obviously you're working with someone remotely, so it's not like you're going to be in the office every day with that person. So you need to make sure that you A, get on with that person, and B, they understand what it is you need. So giving them maybe a trial project or having a trial period, I would definitely recommend, just so you know that you are the right fit for each other and you are going to have, you know, you are going to get what you want out of it in terms of productivity and results.
Yeah, and so do you I can't imagine, like, for me, the hardest thing for me to wrap my head around, because I am not that I'm old school, I'm not, but I've been in sort of business, like in like out of school for about, 20 years. I don't want to give away my age here, but so I worked in corporate, and I know the value of sort of a face-to-face, and assistants I've had before have been like around the corner. Like, I'm in the office and they're right there, they have their own seat, and I'm like, hey, get in here, we need to talk about this. So how do you manage that when you're not able to do that?
I think that was actually one of the most difficult things, because having that connection, as I said, with the person that you're working with is obviously so important. So making sure that you do have kind of open communication streams with your virtual assistant. And I don't mean as in micromanaging, because obviously if you're then micromanaging them, it takes away the whole point of having them in the first place. But definitely having different, I mean, for example, I use a CRM system as well as, you know, multiple different online platforms to stay in touch with clients. As well as, you know, WhatsApp, that it's easy enough just to send a quick message and just see what's going on. So I think with technology these days and how advanced we are, it's definitely a lot easier to stay connected to people even if you're not physically with them.
And now, when you talk about technology, are there what kind of tools, like, do you like have a face to face with them? Like, do you talk to them like on Skype? Like, we're using Skype right now. We're only doing audio because, trust me, girl, you do not want to look at
I
my
know.
face this morning.
I did my makeup and everything.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
so
know.
do you do Skype? Is that or something similar?
No, yeah, we do. So I've got Skype, obviously. There's a video conference software called Zoom as well that's quite popular. Alongside those things, I mean, I actually got a CRM system built specifically for what I'm doing, because that just gives clients access to see projects and documents and so forth. Alongside, you've got other project management software such as Trello, for example, diary management, a Google Calendar is a really good one. So there's loads of softwares out there that really do keep you connected with your clients, and especially if you're working on projects or documents and you need to share things quite quickly and have that visibility there. There's a whole load of stuff out now that makes it possible.
If somebody said to you, like, so if they said, okay, I am not good with any of those, like, is there a specific tool that you say, well, we'll teach you how to use it so that you can use this, or do you try to work with whatever tools they're comfortable with?
We usually try and work with what they're comfortable with. I've not actually been in the position before where I've had to train anyone
Oh, that's
on
good.
software. Yeah, no, luckily enough. So I've not actually been in that position myself yet. But I imagine if that did come up, then that would be something that we would do. I mean, most people are kind of familiar with the softwares that we are using, and you know, and a lot of them aren't that technical to use these days. I mean, as you probably know, most people are quite savvy when it comes to online.
Does it matter where they are in the world?
This is an interesting one, actually, because I think in some ways it can matter. Obviously, you've got time zones, which, you know, depending on how urgent a project is, and so forth, maybe that can make a difference. Most of my clients are actually London-based. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, I know that you're, I think I'm about 5 hours ahead of you now, am I? Yeah, 5 hours ahead. So obviously, if that was an urgent project that, say, you sent over and it was 5 p.m. in the afternoon that you sent it, it might be a bit of an issue. Again, the only other major thing I could think that could cause a problem with that is if it's certain policies are involved. Obviously, they're going to be different in different countries, aren't they? But that's obviously the extreme situations. I don't actually genuinely see an issue as to why someone from, let's just say Spain, couldn't work with someone, you know, in London or different countries. As long as I said, I think the most important thing is that they're hiring someone that can do the task they want and that gels well with them, and they understand what they want to get out of using a virtual assistant.
Yeah, because I like for me, I'm like, it would be great to wake up and have things already done because
Yeah, like a magic elf in the night, just gets them done for
that's
you.
amazing. When you meet with your clients and you have mentioned a couple of times gelling with them, what does that mean?
Yeah, I just think that it's the same way if you were, I mean, I guessing we've all kind of been in an office before, or you know, working with colleagues, and you'd always have, you know, that one that you kind of you sync with, if that makes sense. So you know what each other are doing, you work well together. Almost like a, not like a mind reading thing, but you have that connection where you understand what is expected of each other and you manage each other's expectations. Being really clear on what, I know I keep saying this, but I just think this is one of the most important things, is really understanding what you want to get out of hiring a virtual assistant. And being really open with that when trying to find one, so that the person you're working with understands what is expected of them, it is really important. And I mean, if you find someone that you actually genuinely really get on with and you trust, and you know you want to work with, and they're doing a good job, they're giving you real returns on your business, then I think that's what I mean by gelling with someone.
When you hire a virtual assistant, do you hire them for a certain amount of hours? Do you hire them per project? Do you hire them per month? Like, how does that work?
It can depend, really, I think. I mean, the way I work is hourly, it's usually charged. I mean, most VAs will generally work on a retainer basis if it's ongoing work. I know that some companies will have a minimum hour kind of set thing over a month. So, for example, they'll only work if it's 20 hours each month. And then some VAs are kind of just hourly. It doesn't really matter how long for. But it just, as I said, it just depends. I mean, I certainly, if I had a project that someone just needed assistance with as a one-off, that would definitely not be a problem for me, and that would be the kind of same effort and enthusiasm as it was for kind of the monthly ongoing client. So it just depends, as I said, what kind of project that you want. And as I said, this is the one thing that is really good about having a virtual assistant, is you generally need to write down what you want and then find that fit. So it's not a case of, there is kind of no box, if that makes sense.
So when you say write down what you want, does that mean like maybe over a week period, or I have no idea how this would work, but where you sort of write down all the things that you do? I have no idea. Or like how, and then say, okay, I hate doing these things, or like how do you put that together?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always probably going to be a slight period of time where there might be a bit of an adjustment, because maybe you'll think, oh, it's going to take, you know, maybe I need a virtual assistant for 10 hours a week. But, you know, once you start working with someone, you actually realize, oh, it's only 6 hours a week. So it's more a case of, there's always going to be that kind of interim period when you first start working with someone that you both kind of start understanding, you know, what's expected, how long is it going to take, and you know, and getting the best out of it that way. So I think at the beginning it's always going to be a little bit more difficult to actually say it's definitely going to be 10 hours or it's definitely going to be 20 hours. It's more a case of, as I said, working with the person, finding that fit, and then kind of moving on from there.
When people generally start with you, Do they generally go all in, or do they say, here's a few things, because they don't really even know what to give you?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a mix actually of that. So, I mean, the majority of clients that I work with, I tend to go meet them and we'll sit down and we'll have, if they're in London, I'll go and go meet them face to face or maybe a Skype call. And we'll sit down and we'll say, we'll go through what they're doing at the moment. Why are they looking for a virtual assistant? What do they want to get out of it? And then we'll go through the tasks they've got and they'll tell me what they want me to do. And then I'll sort of gauge, I give them a rough idea and say, oh, well, I think that's going to be around this many hours a week or this many hours a month and so forth. And then we kind of tend to go from there. And as I said, the communication, the ability to communicate with technology and so forth is just so brilliant these days that there's never going to be a point where, we can't actually turn around and say, well, actually, this week we've only done this many hours. And just because there's that, always going to be that transparency there between the VA and the client.
If you could give our listeners three things that they could start today to start looking at whether or not they need a VA, what would those things be?
It would be, number one would be to analyze what you're doing and really think, as I keep saying this, I know I'm very repetitive today, but I just think it's really important is just to know what you want and why are you struggling? Why have have you got too much on at the moment? I just want people just need to recognize exactly what they want to get out of the VA first. Second thing I think would be to take your time trying to find one. Don't be afraid to speak to different VAs, different VA companies. Have a discussion with the person that you could possibly work with, sorry, and explain to them, give them clarity on what you need, and try and feel the responses that you get back. And the third one, I don't know if I can think of a third one. I'd say gel with the person, but you'll probably tell me off again. No, so third one I'd say would be do it. They're good. Yeah, no, do it. They'll save you time, they'll save you money. They can really have a positive impact, especially with the whole work-life balance thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. And so, thank you so much. This helped me sort of manage a few things in my head. I
Oh yeah, I hope
appreciate
it was
that.
helpful for you.
Yeah, I know it was. That's amazing. So, Catherine, tell me, where can people find you?
Online, we are www.girlplanner.co.uk.
Amazing. And is there any social networks you want us to sort of include?
We are on Facebook and Instagram, but we generally are on our website the most.
Okay, perfect. Amazing. So
Yeah.
I'm going to include all those links in the show notes. So if anybody,
Perfect.
if they want to find you or anything, Catherine, thank you so much. I appreciate you and your time. And I know that it's totally different time zones than I.
No, don't worry. So it was lovely speaking to you.
Okay, so seriously, I need to really look at this whole virtual assistant thing because I think it's like critical. I really think. Like, and I've been thinking, I have been, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I've been thinking about this for the last 2 years. And I just haven't bit the bullet because I'm a control freak. It is what it is. I like things done a certain way. I like things to happen a certain way. So there's also that part of me that just stresses out a little bit about having to train somebody, I guess, on how I do things. And I have not had the time yet. But the reality is, if I don't make the time, it's actually going to be detrimental. So I think 2019, I'm making the time. I'm going to do this. I'd love for you to commit with me because I think it's really important that once you, especially once you start getting busy and you just don't have the time to do everything, and then you think, oh my God, I can't train somebody to do everything because I don't have the time to train somebody to do everything. But the reality is, you're never going to grow if you're continually doing the nonsense stuff that somebody else who's brilliant can take care of. So you just need to find somebody that you can trust and that is smart and understands your brand and all that good stuff. So, check out girlplanner.co.uk and see if there's a fit for you. All right, guys, so this is just a couple of tips on doing video since that's what we're talking about right now in the Facebook group. A couple of things to think about when you're doing video, especially when you're doing an intro video. An intro video is not the same as doing sort of these random videos that you would do. You know, if you're doing videos on your Instagram or on your Facebook group or something like that, these people know you a little bit, right? So it's easy to just sort of do these one-off videos where, It doesn't matter too much if your makeup's done or the lighting's good or all those kinds of things don't matter. I mean, they do matter, but they don't matter as much as when you're doing an intro video to people who have never heard of you. They don't know you. So you've got to really think about what do you want them to think of you when they watch this video? Now, you want it to be under 2 minutes. I know. Attention spans have just gotten smaller and smaller and smaller. It's crazy. So we want to keep it under 2 minutes. We do not want to mess around with that girlfriend. We want to keep it tight and short and sweet. Okay, we want to get to the point. We want to hit those pain points. We want to maybe tell a story in there somehow along the way so that they can understand how you can help them, how you benefit them. You really, really, really need to understand who you're talking to. So who is your niche? Do you know who they are? If you don't, grab my brand voice workbook because it will help you discover that. I will leave the link for that in the show notes, okay? And it's a workbook. It's 10 little work pieces that we're going to go through. You can type right into the PDF, answer all these questions to help you really figure out who you're talking to. It is critical, especially when you only got 2 minutes. Look, 2 minutes is not a lot of time, okay? So you got to make it quick, snappy, get to the point. A couple of other things to think about when you're doing this. So yes, it's 2 minutes. Yes, you want to have really great lighting, really great audio. I've had people say to me, "Well, can I just use my earphone mic?" Well, here's the thing. If you were looking at a professional video, would it look weird that they had their earphones in? Maybe. I don't know. So maybe think about things like that. Okay, so I use a lapel mic. It works really great. It was from Amazon. It was $30. It's not a lot of money. I really believe in investing in things. I don't think you have to spend $500,000 to invest in things, but I do think, investing in things is really important if you want to level up your business. So I think that's something to think about. I think you really want to think about your lighting. Natural lighting is obviously the best. You want to make sure your background is clean and smart and is not distracting. You want to make sure that you're wearing the right colors. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about colors and makeup and all kinds of really cool stuff on, I think, Wednesday. So that's tomorrow. So definitely get in on it. Get in on it, guys. So come on over to the Facebook group. I'd love to have you. I'd be thrilled to have you. It's B-Snaps, the Facebook group. So B-Snaps on Facebook. And I'd love to have you. And that is it for this episode, guys. We will talk to you later. Have a kick-ass day.